is Wednesday, August 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump unleashes yet another controversy with his comment that gun rights supporters could stop his Democratic rival Hillary Clinton.
I think the concern about this remark is that it seemed to encourage violence and in a not particularly subtle way.
We look at U.S.-Turkish relations following new negotiations between Turkish and Russian leaders, and singer Britney Spears releases a new single and reaps the success of both her performing career and the lucrative sales of her perfumes. It's all ahead. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump accused the media of distorting a comment he made Tuesday about gun rights that many took to mean he was suggesting violence against his Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton. With a vacancy on the nation's Supreme Court and the potential for the next president to name several new justices, Trump said Clinton would decimate the Second Amendment, which guarantees Americans the right to bear arms. Trump later told Fox News he was referring to a political movement. But the Clinton campaign considered Trump's comment more ominous. Danny Hayes is associate professor of political science at George Washington University and a former journalist. I asked him whether American politics has seen anything like the inflammatory rhetoric witnessed in this presidential campaign.
Well, I think it's hard to compare to the scope of American history, and certainly there have been campaigns in the past that have been far more vitriolic even than the campaign that we're having now. You had campaigns in the 1800s where opponents were accusing each other of having murdered citizens and things like that. This is obviously different, and it's unusual in that Trump said something like this that was so prominent and so public and seemed to encourage violence against either Hillary Clinton or against her potential judicial nominees. It's unclear, I think, which of those he was referring to in his comments. But it's certainly in keeping with Trump's approach of trying to make headlines by making outlandish statements, and in this case, an offhand remark, and then claiming that he didn't actually say what he said or mean what he said. But I think it's pretty clear what he was saying, and I think that's part of the reason that the controversy isn't going away.
Yeah, he does have a habit of, as he's been described, he walks remarks back. He sort of says, well, I didn't really mean that. But in a way, you know, some people said that what he was doing, his latest remarks about Hillary Clinton and the Second Amendment, in a way this could be like a dog whistle, which is sort of a coded message to followers who, say, National Rifle Association members who are worried about former Secretary Clinton becoming president, that she would take, you know, the rights to own their guns away from them.
Well, I think we need to be careful not to characterize this as sort of dog whistle politics in the traditional sense. Dog whistle politics often means making, as you noted, coded remarks, but this wasn't really even coded. I think the concern about this remark is that it seemed to encourage violence and in a not particularly subtle way. He wasn't making an oblique appeal to ethnocentrism or other things that are often the centerpiece of those kinds of dog whistle appeals. I actually think this was more overt than that. And so I think that's, again, part of the reason that it has caused even a lot of Republicans, people who have supported him, to criticize what he said, because I think it's largely seen appropriately as outside the bounds of appropriate politics.
He made these latest remarks soon after he got into another controversy recently with the father of a Muslim American soldier who was killed in Iraq. At the moment, we're just in August, and we have until November to go through to the campaign. But you know, this is going on, and there are some people, particularly some Republicans, very concerned about Trump's candidacy, and also how this could impact other candidates that are lower down on the ballot, those running for the Senate or the Congress.
Yeah, and I think that's a legitimate concern. To the extent that Trump becomes representative of the Republican Party, I think there are some Republicans themselves that are obviously uncomfortable with him and would might be somewhat more reticent to support other Republican candidates if they believe that they would become part of a Trump Republican Party in Washington, were Trump to win. I also think that part of the challenge that Trump has is that not only does he have relatively weak support among Republican elites, that, you know, again, is sort of sending weaker signals to Republicans and the public about whether they should support Trump or not. But there's also doesn't seem to be a real aggressive effort to turn out Republican voters. And so what you might end up in with in November is a lower Republican turnout than we might expect in a more ordinary election. That could hurt down-ballot candidates, Senate candidates, or congressional candidates who need Republican voters to turn out and cast ballots for them. If the Republican presidential nominee can't mobilize them, then they may not be there on election day to support those down-ballot candidates.
Danny Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at George Washington University. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what's trending?
Well, these comments by Donald Trump are certainly trending, as people are suggesting that they are some kind of thinly veiled or not so thinly veiled threat. Now, people on Hillary Clinton's side of the campaign are saying, well, this is clearly an attack against her and trying to incite violence. It needs to be investigated. Donald Trump supporters are saying it was just a call for activism. So there's that back and forth we're seeing on social media. The Secret Service did tweet out, however, that they were taking the comments seriously and were potentially going to investigate them. So more on that as they continue to do so. I want to talk a little bit about an analysis that a reporter did of Donald Trump's tweets. Of course, he says that he just kind of calls out and somebody writes it down, or he just tweets out from his phone. Well, this intrepid reporter found that some of the tweets came from an iPhone, some of the tweets came from an Android device, and he's surmised from this in the differences in tone and use of hashtags that they're not all coming from Donald Trump. Some of them seem to be coming from a second person, and there's a question about whether maybe Donald Trump's account might have been blocked on his phone or locked out or something like that. But some fascinating behind the scenes about how Donald Trump is communicating and using Twitter to reach out to his supporters. And then we have with our current president, Barack Obama, how he's connecting with people using social media. And the latest way that he's doing that is through Facebook Messenger. President Obama famously reads 10 letters from Americans every day and responds to them. Well, now, in addition to those 10 letters, he's going to incorporate Facebook Messenger communications. So you can actually message the president using Facebook Messenger, and you could get a response. But this is the new way that they're trying to incorporate more voices and more responses from Americans into the things that they respond to each day. And it's kind of a trend that we've seen over not just the Obama administration, but previous Bush administration, starting to incorporate more digital and social media into the presidency. So I'm sure whoever the president will be come January 20th, 2017, we will see more of that in their term.
But you got to be on Facebook.
But you have to be on Facebook to do it. And that's where, you know, either Facebook or Twitter you have to be these days to do these digital communications. And then finally, trending on Twitter today, news about a new movie, Ocean's 8. It's going to be an all-female version of the Ocean's 11 famous film. And the internet is going quite crazy over the list of names in the cast. Rihanna, Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Sandra Bullock, Helena Bonham Carter. Already people are excited about this, and the movie hasn't even really been, I don't even know if they started filming it, but it's capturing the internet's attention. They're saying this is going to be an epic film. One person even tweeted out, said, you know, I think the eighth person is going to be Simone Biles, the U.S. gymnast.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top stories trending. The U.S. paints a bleak portrait of global religious freedom. NATO reaffirms its support of Turkish President Erdogan. The Brazilian Senate votes in favor of an impeachment trial for President Rousseff. And the Justice Department says Baltimore police violated the Constitution with illegal stops and arrests. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOANews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute. After a mosquito bites a person, it leaves an inflamed area on the skin that can become irritating and itchy. The irritation is caused by the saliva the mosquito injects into the wound when it bites. Scientists in the United Kingdom have found that this inflammation can also worsen mosquito-borne viral infections such as Zika or dengue. A new study by researchers at the University of Leeds suggests that bite inflammation not only helps viruses quickly establish themselves in the body, but can also help spread the infection throughout the body, increasing the chances of developing a severe illness. The injected mosquito saliva prompts an immune response by the body, which sends infection-fighting white blood cells to the bite area. The researchers found that rather than actually fighting the viruses, some of these white blood cells can become infected and wind up replicating the virus. I am VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we'll hear what a successful businesswoman, singer Britney Spears, has become. As the leaders of Turkey and Russia seek to mend ties strained by last November's downing of a Russian warplane near the Syrian border, there's concern U.S.-Turkish relations will suffer. On Tuesday, Turkey's justice minister warned of a rising anti-Americanism in Turkey over Washington's failure to quickly extradite exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen, who's accused of being behind last month's failed coup. U.S. State Department spokeswoman Elizabeth Trudeau was asked if there are concerns over the state of relations with NATO ally Turkey and Ankara's migrant deal with the European Union.
Certainly, Turkey and Russia are both members of the fight against Daesh. They're both members of the ISSG. There's a lot of common goals, common interests there. Speaking on the migrant deal, you know, we have said publicly, you know, how important we believe this is. We hope this will move forward. You know, on the anti-American rhetoric, you know, one of the things that, you know, we remain concerned about is rhetoric that we don't view as helpful. You know, as we engage with our Turkish counterparts, you know, we are concerned. We expect, you know, all parties, media, civil society, the Turkish government to be responsible in their statements on this. We believe our relations and our partnership and our friendship with Turkey is strong. We've said this publicly. We stand with the government of Turkey on this.
Trudeau said the extradition process is technical and legal and is not influenced by emotion or political rhetoric. And international relations professor Jonathan Adelman of the University of Denver tells International Edition's Victor Beatty he doubts Gulen will ever be extradited to Turkey.
The administration has already made it clear through leaks that they're not about to send Gulen at 75, you know, back to Turkey where he would probably be executed. And there's not much evidence. In fact, things have been going so well since the quote-unquote coup was put down within barely 24 hours that there's a lot of people out there who are academically and politically oriented who wonder if there really was a coup or it was all a setup by Erdogan, because now he brought his hundreds of thousands of people into the streets. He is going to be the absolute ruler of Turkey. And again, who does that remind us of? Vladimir Putin.
Does it strain U.S.-Turkish ties, or does it break them?
I don't think it will break them. I think, however, it will be far less warm than it was before. The Turks still need, because of their economy and the dangers that are still out there for Turkey, some help from the United States. But I think it's going to be much less warm than it was before, and it's going to pose a real challenge for the next president of the United States.
What of Turkey's migrant deal with the European Union and its future in NATO?
Turkey will probably remain what I would call a nominal member of NATO, because what you see them doing is playing, I mean, look at what they're doing with the Israelis. They're playing both sides of the street against each other. But I think in reality, they're not going to be, you know, a very active member of NATO. And especially with Erdogan solidifying his control at home now in terms of an Islamic Turkey, but let's remember, a Sunni Turkey, not a Shiite Turkey. This is going to be difficult for the United States. I think we'll have relations, won't break relations. They'll be nominally in NATO, but they're not going to go any further because they see the rising power in the Middle East as Russia, not the United States.
And what about the migrant deal with the EU?
If you look at the polling that's been going on in Germany and in Scandinavian countries, it's not going to last for very much longer. Angela Merkel has sunk, you know, from like 60% to barely 40% support in Germany. She's going to have to close down a lot of this. And the rise of the far-right parties, look at France. You see that Marine Le Pen, the National Front, is actually favored by some to win at least the first round for president in another year and a half. So given all of that, I think there's not going to be as many people migrating. I think the power even for people like Angela Merkel, who definitely cares about them and bringing a million to them, has led to such a sharp political response.
That's Jonathan Adelman of the University of Denver. Turkey's threatened to end the refugee agreement with the EU unless the European bloc fulfills its offer for visa-free travel for Turks, accelerated talks on EU membership, and promised funding to help Ankara cope with millions of Syrian refugees. This is VOA.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artist. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
This is International Edition. Well, a star singer is back with a new album and single. Here's VOA Border Crossings host, Larry London.
Britney Spears has a brand new album coming out. It's her ninth album. It's called Glory, going on sale August 26th. Britney's had quite an illustrious career since her first album in 1999, Baby One More Time. She's gone on to sell over 100 million albums. And she's back. She's been working in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood and raking in the dough. So it's quite a comeback story. Britney, you know, who was at the very bottom of despair back in 2008 when she suffered a breakdown, she's rebounded nicely and rebuilt her career. A lot of people just can't do what she's managed to do, but she's back and raising two beautiful kids, Sean and Jaden. And the new album comes out, as I said, in a couple of weeks. We're all excited about it. She's got a song out already, and the new song is called Make Me. And there's a little bit of controversy about this song already because there's a new video which was just released for the song, and apparently the original video, which they had planned to release, became too sexual. They just thought this is not appropriate. So they filmed another one, and her fans heard there was a first edition. And now they're circulating a petition to get the first one released. They want to see what this sexually explicit video is all about.
Well, maybe they can have both videos.
That would be a good idea, too. She's got a new song that is just coming out this week. It's called Clumsy from the new album. And not only that, she's very busy in other areas of her career, including perfume. She has a new perfume fragrance out. Now, when she started with her perfume line in 2004, it was kind of a novelty thing to do. Celine Dion and several others were releasing perfume fragrances. She released one called Curious, and it made $100 million. So
wow.
It was much more than just a novelty.
Yeah.
And now she's put out her 20th fragrance, which is called Private Show. Very interesting name for a perfume fragrance, but 20. You smell pretty good if you've got 20 perfumes to pick from.
That's quite a lucrative sideline for
an entertainer. Yes, it is. If each one's making millions and millions, absolutely. Which is why she earned $58 million this past year alone. And so let's give this song a listen. This is the latest. It's called Make Me.
I'm dreaming of my limit about somebody. This feeling I want to go with it because there's no way. Oh, how
running away from this tonight, this tonight.
You know, we haven't heard quite as much about Britney in the last few years.
And she seems to be coming back. She's been working regularly in Las Vegas, doing one of those regular shows at the Planet Hollywood. They loved her so much after her first 2 years, they signed her to a 2-year extension. So she continues to sell out. It's a Piece of Me show. She was the best-selling teenage artist of all time in the 1990s. And she continues to sell. She makes it to every list, every annual list. V Magazine's doing a story on her right now. And so she remains in the mainstream. She keeps herself current. She knows how to manipulate the system. She put a video out of herself in Hawaii on a yacht, topless. She didn't show her front. She was from the back. But, you know, she's there on vacation currently with her two sons, having a good time. And her videos attract millions and millions of views. She was named the Millennium Award winner at the Billboard Awards this year. She performed at the show this year. And she says her inspiration comes from Madonna and Janet Jackson.
Quite a combination there.
Love her music. Love Britney Spears and everything she stands for. She's kind of been very, you know, she's survived. She's succeeded in spite of it all. She's a comeback kid, so to speak. So I love what she does, and her music's not offensive. And, you know, she's had some highs and some lows. She's done some things she's not too proud of. But right now, she said the new album, which, as I mentioned, is called Glory, coming out August 26th, she says, is her best work yet.
All right. Thanks very much. That's Border Crossings host Larry London.
Just want you to make me move like it ain't a choice for you, like you got a job to do. Just want you to raise my roof, something sensational.
And that is the music of course, Britney Spears, who has become quite successful both in her performing career and in her business career. Well, that's our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. You can get all the very latest on news as well as latest on the Olympics. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Russian aggression continues in eastern Ukraine. According to U.S. Ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, Daniel Baer, the situation in eastern Ukraine remains grim. Combined Russian separatist forces have claimed the lives of more than 63 Ukrainian soldiers and wounded some 327 more since June 1st. This bloodshed is eroding confidence on the ground and hardening attitudes, said Ambassador Baer. This violence needs to stop. That's why the United States strongly supports the OSCE's efforts and those in the Normandy format to find a peaceful solution to the conflict in eastern Ukraine caused by Russia's aggression. The Special Monitoring Mission, or SMM, must have access to disengagement sites and throughout the conflict zone, including up to the international border. Restrictions on their movement regularly occur along the parts of Ukraine's internationally recognized border with Russia that are under the control of combined Russian separatist forces. The SMM continues to identify clear and continuing evidence of Russia's direct involvement with Russian separatist forces. The SMM continues to find weapons systems in separatist-held territory that are only in Russia's arsenal. Moreover, OSCE monitors have recorded large numbers of individuals in military-style dress crossing the internationally recognized border from Russia into separatist-held parts of Ukraine. Only a credible ceasefire will protect civilians from greater harm and create the conditions that will allow Ukraine to move forward with the political aspects of the Minsk agreement. President Barack Obama and other U.S. officials have been clear with Russian President Vladimir Putin that sanctions will remain in place until Moscow fully implements its Minsk commitments. Crimea-related sanctions will remain until the peninsula is returned to Ukraine.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.